If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, Connell. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, John. Always good to talk to you.
What's the number one story from your perspective today? What are you all following? I've got a few I want to ask you about, but I wonder what you would say.
You know, it's actually one of those days, summer-wise, where it's tough. The president just took off for Scotland to play some golf and talk some trade while he's there. It is three or four days. So, you know, we're coming to the end of this Epstein-inspired week and wondering what the other stories are that are sort of hovering in people's mind. I thought what happened between the president and the Federal Reserve chairman yesterday was relatively interesting. So I think it's a mix of politics and economics. We're trying to figure out how to get these trade deals done by the 1st of August. Stock market at or close to record highs. So it's kind of a mix of a bunch of stuff rather than just one big story, I think.
I thought that visit to the building where they're making the new Fed was a trap. You know, the two of them walking. And Donald Trump has a certain aura around him. Jerome Powell does not. And the hard hats make him look silly. And now they're walking through this building. And you know Trump is looking for a way to get rid of the Fed chair. And one of the ways may be, well, he's incompetent because of the overruns on this building. That's a reach, but he's looking for any way to get rid of Jerome Powell. So now they're touring the building. And you know it's going to go bad for Jerome Powell. And then Donald Trump reaches into his breast pocket and says, oh, what do we have here? A little description of the cost of the building. And I'm like, Powell, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? There's nothing. If Donald Trump wants to tour the building, he can. But there is no upside for you on this.
You know, it was interesting. It was one of those, you're right about all the setup and the trap part of it. And if he wanted to fire the Fed chairman, he would need to have cause. And, you know, maybe you, to your point, try to use something like this as cause to fire him. I think Trump's being advised now, I believe, that let him serve out his term. I mean, the market, like I said, is doing fine. And firing Powell now, percentage-wise, the likelihood that that would cause more harm than good is probably relatively high, that the market would probably sell off a bit. So, you know, you're going to get a chance to pick a new Fed chairman relatively soon. So I still think that the best bet here is that he lets him serve out his term. Now, as to yesterday, I said it after we came out of that because it was live on our show, is that I think you had a little bit for everybody in that. I think Powell surprised some people. Yeah. You're right about Fed chairman, that they're not usually as quick on their feet as politicians, especially a guy like Trump. But Powell, you know, in standing up to Trump, some said it in fact-checking Trump in real time, the people who don't like Trump are like, yeah, go get him, Jay Powell, you know, because it was sort of a funny moment as well where the president was like, no,
well, it was unique.
$3.1 billion. Yeah, he says, where do you get $3.1 from? Show me that piece of paper. He's like, no, it includes this building. He's like, yeah.
And he hands the piece of paper. Now Powell's checking for his glasses, and I'm going, dude, you're taking the bait. But then at least he has the wherewithal.
Line. Yeah, you're right. He says, we built that building 5 years ago.
And then Trump says, it was all still part of the overall work. And now, you know, Trump wasn't stammering, but I think that Powell did a good job of popping that little balloon that the president pulled out.
It's hard to stand up to the guy in real time. You know, I mean, even you see it in interviews. And, you know, Powell, for, you know, whatever you, I don't know what it means, but for Powell, for his part, probably did as good a job as anyone's done in terms of being able to do that. You know, at least he's got a good command of the English language, maybe, which is what put Zelensky in a tough spot there a few months ago. But I don't know. I don't know why I laugh so much at these things. It's better than sometimes you have to, I think.
It's not new, he said. That building was built 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Trump tried to get in the last word. It's part of the overall work. Okay, so that moment comes and goes, and maybe Powell is safe, particularly since the economy is good. And you're right. All the smart people I hear say that if you did mess with the Fed, and he's already thinking about appointing a shadow chair anyway, but if you undermine the confidence the world has in the U.S. economy and market, then you'll be sorry. We will all pay the price for that. So let that go. Do you think the next 6 weeks will make the Epstein story go away, or do you think it'll just make it worse?
I probably would have betted would have went away already. And I'm still trying to figure out why the administration hasn't handled this better than they have. Obviously, there's all kinds of possibilities, including that there's more information out there than we know, or that there's no information out there and they're trying to figure out a way to get around this with their base, because those were the people pushing kind of all the conspiracies and all this idea that the guy was murdered and all these things that were out there online that they say are not true. Maybe there's nothing out there and they're trying to figure out a way to kind of release or spin that. But I would have thought they would have done that already. You know, the reason it'll probably hang around at least a little is because Congress did that weird thing, or the House did, of taking their recess early the other day. So now they don't come back till September, and you have Thomas Massie on the Republican side, Ro Khanna on the Democratic side, introducing this resolution, they say, when they come back to try to compel the president to release more of the files. I don't even know if Congress has the power to do that, but they do have the power to talk about it. So, you know, by that measure, I think it hangs around for a while, at least, if Congress comes back in September and wants to talk about it, unless Trump and DOJ and the FBI, release some more files here in the next few days or weeks.
I don't like to be a name caller, but if Jerome Powell looked feckless, Mike Johnson looks absolutely impotent. He put a little daylight between him and the president when he said we ought to let everything come out. And then after a few days' criticism of him, maybe from the president himself, he said that we need to give them time to work this thing out. I don't even know what that's going to do, but he spun on his heel on that one.
He did. I mean, the thing I'd say about Johnson, and I agree with you, I think this has not been well handled, this whole Epstein controversy, by anyone, whether it's in the administration or the Republican side of the Congress. Johnson, however, to me, on balance, big picture, has been an effective, you know, whether you agree or disagree with him, Speaker of the House. And the reason I say that is because it's hard to be Speaker of the House as a Republican when Donald Trump is the president. And we've seen this in the past, Paul Ryan had all kinds of struggles with Trump. It's not easy to do it. And, you know, if you look at Johnson, you know, has he struggled on some issues like this? Yeah, because, you know, Trump kind of makes it tough. But has he also gotten some things done when people didn't think he would, like passing that bill? You know, yeah, the big, beautiful bill, as Trump calls it. He's done that, too. And that's not easy to do with slim margins and with Trump kind of mucking up the process sometimes. So I actually think that Johnson, on balance, has been, for his side of the aisle, a fairly effective Speaker of the House, all things considered.
Okay. I'll modify my view about that. That's helpful, I guess. But I would like to see somebody just for once stand up to the president. It just seems like he's running the Congress.
You have to really, as a leader at least, pick your spots. I mean, you can go Thomas Massie or Don Bacon, I guess, who's leaving Congress, or Massie, who thinks he can stay, and be a Republican that opposes Trump. Being in leadership and opposing Trump hasn't worked as well. I mean, that's the power this president has, for better or worse. I'm not saying whether it's a good or a bad thing. I'm saying that's the way it is. So, you know, Mitch McConnell tried it, and it didn't work out very well. At different times, others in the House have tried it in leadership, and it just doesn't work. And Trump has the base behind him, has the leadership, has the base of the party behind him. That's where the money comes from, whether it's grassroots money or donors are all going to kind of follow what Trump's doing. So, you know, leadership has to be very, very, very careful with that, or otherwise they won't be in leadership very long. So I think that's the tightrope that Johnson's trying to walk over there.
And the shame of it all is this may be a nothing burger. And yet all of this energy, all of this investigation, all of the delay of things that the House was actually going to do in the last couple of days before Johnson recessed early, all in the name of this Epstein file. And maybe nothing will be revealed there that will be sufficiently compromising to the president or anybody to change anything. So what a waste of time.
Trump survived, the Access Hollywood tapes right before an election that he won. Not only did he survive, he won the election. So it's hard to believe, but not impossible, of course, but it's hard to believe there's much in there that would damage this president. He's been Teflon on these sorts of issues because he has a very, very loyal base. That's why his poll numbers don't fluctuate that much. They go down, but not as much. He'll never go down to like where George W. Bush was when the 08 financial crisis hit in the 20s. You can't imagine. I mean, after January 6th, Trump didn't even go down there. He's going to be where he is. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see where this whole thing goes. They obviously haven't handled it well. The one thing I would say is you try to look in from the outside, kind of remove yourself from it. If you were working for the president or working on his behalf, I mean, you could articulate an argument here that he's had a lot of success in his first 6 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You say, hey, we passed this bill, and we look what we did in Iran, and we're trying to bring peace to the Middle East. You know, I'm obviously going to get opposition on all of these issues, but you can articulate a strong argument for your side, and this is distracting them from it. Not because the media is making a big deal of it. I know that's what people like to say. This is because their own people are making a big deal of it, and that's why the story has the legs that it has. It's coming from the MAGA base.
Yeah.
They're the ones that were pushing it for years. Now they're in government, and they don't know how to deal with it.
Well, I think his efforts to navigate peace in Ukraine and in Gaza have stalled, that's for sure. But immigration issues are what they had hoped they would be. The border is tight. The economy, for some reason, doesn't seem to care about the tariffs. That's going well.
Especially the stock market, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And, in fact, now some of these tariffs are starting to come to fruition. So a lot of wins there. And then you've got this thing. You know, you mentioned that his polling seems to be stable. I did see today, though, that one poll does have him, if you include all voters, at around 39% approval rating. But the number that jumped out at me the most in the last week or so, Connell, was the one that separated the Republicans from Democrats. It's 90% job approval and 9% job approval, depending on if you're a Republican or Democrat. Wow, that's huge.
Yep, and when you work it in and split it up even more and have independents, you never know how independents really are, but he's been struggling with independents. Does it matter? For Trump, people say, oh, he's not running again. It matters for Republicans in the midterms, though, and those are the voters that decide those elections in close places. I mentioned Don Bacon. He's Nebraska, too. We had a Democrat on who's running in that district, so that's a seat Democrats could win, with moderate voters or with independent voters, and that's where the Trump struggles are right now. But Wall Street Journal had numbers out today that showed him to be relatively resilient, especially because of the economy and the reason the economy is resonating. Again, at least in my brain, as I look at it, is the stock market, because there's a feel-good factor there. When the market is down, as it was in April after the tariffs, people, even if they don't need the money tomorrow and it doesn't affect their life, they still don't feel as good. But when the market is up and soaring, you say, all right, fine, you know what? Maybe I will take that vacation. Maybe I will spend some money. You just start to feel better about yourself, and as a result, you start to feel better about the country and the president. So that's, the stock market may not be the economy, but sometimes when it's having a good run like it is right now, it can help a president. So I think that's helping Trump from not falling further. But again, watch the independents. That's where the struggle is.
Nice to talk to you today, Connell.
Always, John. Thanks a lot.
Anchor at News Nation. You'll watch him at 2 o'clock this afternoon on Comcast 223, direct in the Dish 2.